your chance to visit with someone who understands the Affordable Health Care Act. Paul Von Ebers is the head. He's the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota. In fact, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota was sought after by other states to help them set up their health care exchanges, the marketplace, you know, where you can go get that health care. So I wanted him on. We've been trying to time this so that he could take your phone calls. Let's do that. Now, let's lay down some rules, though, first. This is not a time to pontificate about the politics of the Affordable Health Care Act. You've had plenty of time to do that. If you have a problem with it and you want to point it out, go ahead and call Paul and say, hey, Paul, is this true? Well, then you've made your point. But do it in the form of a question so that Paul Von Ebers actually gets to you, gets the points to you about the Affordable Health Care Act. Paul, good to have you on News and Views.
Hi, Joel. Great to be with you this morning.
Now, your agency, the Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota, has done a ton of town hall. I call them town hall meetings, informational meetings. I don't know what you'd call it. Why don't you describe to the listening public out there what Blue Cross Blue Shield has done to get ready for tomorrow?
Sure. We feel that it's our responsibility to make sure that people just understand the law and understand the benefits and the responsibilities that people have under the law. So we have been holding meetings for individuals and also for businesses, as well as for state legislators and hospitals and physicians around the state, just so that we can explain the law as we understand it to all those publics. This is a complex law. There's a lot of moving parts to it, and we just think that everyone needs to be informed about how it works.
So what happens tomorrow?
Okay, so tomorrow is the first day that these insurance exchanges are open, and I know there's a lot of confusion about that. First of all, an insurance exchange is basically an online marketplace, a place that you can go on the internet to shop and compare different health insurance plans. And in addition to that, the exchanges also have call centers where, you know, you can call in and get assistance as well for people who do not have access to the internet. So that's what the exchange is. We here in North Dakota have chosen, the legislature has chosen to use the federal exchange. And so North Dakotans will have access to that federal exchange starting tomorrow.
And other states like Minnesota built their own exchange, and they're quite aggressively putting it out there. That you've seen the Paul Bunyan ads that they've used
right, as
a tool to kind of get out there and say, look, this is where you can call to get to the Minnesota exchange.
Right, right. And the federal exchange is at, you know, the web address is healthcare.gov. Excuse me for that. It's www.healthcare.gov. And also, you know, we have information available. Our website is, it starts with bluend.com. So it starts with blueand.com.
So those are two great resources to go. Paul, it's going to be a little harder. I know that you're on the road, and I know how busy you are, so I do appreciate the time. If you don't understand what one of the questions was, if you can't hear it properly, just ask me to repeat it, and I'll get it to you, okay?
Sure. Let's
take some phone calls on this. Ron, you're first up. Do you have a question of Paul Von Ebers, Ron?
Yes. Paul, I was wondering, the federal government have this these people called healthcare navigators, okay, that we are giving medical information, W-2 amounts, and Social Security numbers. What safeguards there are that this thing is not going to be rot with scammers and fraud?
That's a great question in light of what happened in Minnesota. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Appreciate the question. There have been selective grants to organizations in North Dakota to hire and educate these people who are called navigators. I know the individual organizations that are receiving the grants, and you know they're reputable organizations, and I think they're doing their best to get people hired and trained on time. I'm not as worried about scams in that environment as I am worried about just the time to get the people trained. And I know that the organizations in North Dakota who are receiving those grants are, you know, doing their best to get people educated on time. There has been discussion in Congress about requiring additional certifications of these folks, and we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out.
Should you be worried about security, though, giving out your sensitive information?
Yeah, you know, I think you should, and you should know the organization that you're dealing with. If you've never heard of them, or if you get some kind of internet ad that says, you know, come here and check out the, you know, the new healthcare reform subsidies, I'd be suspicious of that. I would go to somebody that you know. You know, hopefully people trust Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Dakota. You can call us. You can come to our website. You know, if you're with another health insurance carrier, I would go to that carrier, and you can go to the exchange itself, which, as I said, is healthcare.gov is the web address there.
Okay.
Now, the only caution I will give you on the federal exchange is that, you know, it's a very complex set of programs, and, you know, they should be operational tomorrow, but I would be surprised if there were not glitches. And so, frankly, you know, I would wait a little while for most people to go to that website, because here's the thing. The subsidies start January 1. You need to be signed up by January 1 if you're eligible for a subsidy. You know, we've got some time here, and I don't think it's important for people to rush to the exchange tomorrow when it's going to be brand new and maybe a little rocky. So if you give it a little bit of time, I think you'll have a better experience.
Okay, let's get to Deb. Deb, you're on with Paul Von Ebers of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Hi, Joel. Before I ask my question, can I clarify something about
what happened in
Minnesota?
Yeah.
There was not a breach of the exchanges for information. An employee attached to an email the wrong attachment, and that's what happened. That employee was fired, and it didn't really have anything to do with people putting their information on the exchange.
But it did get out, Deb.
It did get out,
yeah.
Yes. But it's implemented as a breach of information, and MNsure has state-of-the-art safety apparatuses on their site.
Okay. What's your question,
now,
Deb?
My question is, if Mr. Ebers is telling people to go to the healthcare.gov for their exchanges for North Dakotans, and Minnesota has a MNsure website where they've already set up their exchanges, because the government in North Dakota and the governor did not set up exchanges and, you know, try to help out the people in their state, North Dakotans may pay higher premiums than Minnesotans. Is that true?
Okay, thank you, Deb.
Deb, thank you for your question. No, I don't think that it has any impact to have a federal exchange versus a state exchange in terms of the price of insurance on the exchange. You know, we submitted our prices to the exchange based on our best understanding of the people who were likely to come and sign up and need health insurance. And so did the other carriers that submitted products and prices to the exchange. I don't think the fact that it's a federal exchange makes any difference. We, all insurance companies, are paying fees to use these exchanges. And, you know, MNsure, the exchange in Minnesota, can set fees to cover its costs. And the federal exchange is doing the same thing. But those fees are not a large percentage of the premium. So I don't think that would be a reason why there could be different costs.
But your organization, Blue Cross Blue Shield, encouraged North Dakota to set up exchanges. What's the benefit to a state by having the exchanges versus just throwing the power to the federal government?
Right. We would still support a state-based exchange, and we may be able to get back to a state-based exchange down the road. It just means that North Dakotans would be involved in the governance decisions. We just think it's good to have decision-making, you know, closer to the people that are being served. The technology is difficult technology, whether you're building it on a state level or a federal level. And in fact, a few states are using the federal technology, but they're having local governance. And that would be an acceptable option to us as well. We just think local governance is a good idea.
Okay. When we come back, Paul Von Ebers taking your phone questions on the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare, whatever way you know it as.
My Blue Cross and Blue Shield policy is that the word out there right now is that deductibles and co-payments are going to go up on it. And if I want to get a similar type of policy, I'll have to get into a quite a bit higher premium area. Is that true, or is that just something false going around?
Okay, Roger. Thank you for the question. And I don't know exactly your situation, so let me run down just for all the listeners just a couple of different situations. Okay, so the first thing is that if you're getting Blue Cross Blue Shield through your employer, then very likely, you know, nothing's going to change or very little is going to change. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is for the large majority of our customers who buy their insurance directly from us and pay their own premium rather than an employer contributing, the vast majority of those people will need to pick a new product, but it's going to be a product that is going to be relatively close to what they have today. Unfortunately, we do have a small number of people who have purchased a fairly high deductible policy, and in particular, the product that we have called Affordablue, unfortunately, has higher cost sharing than is now allowed under the law. And so eventually, when those contracts renew, people are going to have to move off Affordablue and get a product that does have richer benefits. So it'll cover more, but it is going to be more expensive.
Roger, that answer your question?
Those are kind of the three scenarios.
It did.
Okay, thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's get to Mike. Mike, you're on with Paul Von Ebers.
Morning. Question for a boomer who's about to turn 65. So I'm looking for some advice or whatever on is the person going to be better off maintaining, say, current policies and coverage or transition to Medicare, Medicaid, or maybe go to the exchanges? What word, you know?
Okay, so did I understand that you're turning 65?
Yep.
Okay. So if you're turning 65, and I assume that you do not have retiree health coverage through a prior employer, most people don't, but
self-employed.
So if I assume that, then you will be eligible for Medicare, and you would be better off to go on the basic Medicare program, and then you can also, that would be Part A and Part B, and there is a premium that you have to pay to the government on Part B, and then
right.
You may very well want to purchase a Medicare supplement policy on top of that to cover some things that Medicare does not cover. If you're 65, you're going to be better off on Medicare than buying a product through the exchange.
But can he find that supplement in the marketplace?
He can find it. We'd be happy to help him with that. He can find it on our website, bcbsnd.com, or you can call us at 800-280-BLUE, which is 800-280-2583.
But is that, Paul, part of the healthcare exchange?
No, it's not part of the healthcare exchange.
Okay, I think that's
Medicare
what it is.
Medicare supplement is not being sold on the exchange, so if you're Medicare eligible, you're still going to go through the same process as you would today. You would contact the government, and you can sign up for Part A and Part B, and then you may want to buy a supplement on top of that.
Okay, let's get to Jack. Jack, you're on with Paul Von Ebers.
Good morning. I'm calling to ask, in light of the at the 1st of January, if you do not have the insurance, you are going to be fined $1,500, I understand it?
Not in the first year. Thank you for that question. This is a very important question. The law does say that all individuals must be covered by health insurance or pay a penalty. So, again, if you're employed and you're receiving coverage through your employer, then you're good. And your employer is obligated to have appropriate coverage for you. But if you're an individual buying your own and you do not have coverage, then in 2014, there is a penalty of $95 per adult and $47.50 per child, up to a maximum of $285, or 1% of your income. So in 2014, those are the penalties if you do not have insurance. They go up in subsequent years, okay? And again, this information on the penalties is available on our website. But by 2016,
okay,
it is much higher. You know, it's $685.
I got you.
Per adult.
Hang with me, Paul. Lots more questions for you right after this. There's the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Dakota. I posted on Facebook today. I said, you know, the questions. What would the questions be? And one of the questions that came in by Facebook was from Joey. He said, can you tell us how the tax breaks will help pay for the insurance? Paul, your answer to that.
Sure. Okay. And this is really important. We think a lot of our existing customers will be eligible for a federal tax credit for their health insurance. And this is a big deal for a lot of people. So if you're a single person buying health insurance, if your income is between roughly $16,000 a year, a little less than that, up to about $46,000, so 16 to 46, if you're in that range of annual income, you could be eligible for a subsidy. If you're a couple, between $21,000 and $62,000, you could be eligible for a subsidy. And for a family of four, if you have an income between $32,500 and $94,000, you could be eligible for a subsidy. Those are rough numbers. I rounded them off. So, you know, go to our website. We actually have a subsidy calculator there, and you can calculate whether you're eligible for a subsidy. Now, if you get your insurance through an employer, you're not eligible for a subsidy unless the cost of your employer's insurance is more than 9.5% of your family income. But if you're an individual buying on your own, those numbers that I just read off are good. We do have a calculator that you can go in and plug in your income, and we're not, you know, asking you for Social Security numbers or anything like that. It's just a free public website. You just plug in your income, and it will tell you whether you are preliminarily eligible for a subsidy. You're still going to have to check that. You know, the government's going to have to check your income and all that stuff. But it's a quick and dirty way to see if you might be eligible.
Another great question comes in by Facebook. Says, will someone other than doctors be deciding your treatment or no treatment?
Okay, that's a great question. Basically, this issue, people referred to death panels, you know, during the health care reform debate. There's nothing that I would call anything remotely like a death panel. Essentially, insurance is still going to deal with the issue of medical necessity. In other words, does it work or not? And at Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota, we rely on the advice of local doctors as well as national information to determine whether a treatment works or not. And we feel an obligation to all our other customers to only pay for what works. So all insurance companies are dealing with that. What was referred to as these death panels, which I think is just wrong, is a federal body that is being set up under the law to look at what's effective and what's not effective, and also to make recommendations on limiting total health care costs. So You know, that's the concern, is that government would tell us what health care we can have. It is certainly not behaving that way at this point, and I think we all just have to keep our eyes and ears open on it.
Last question by Facebook. Will Blue Cross Blue Shield be marketing a special sign-up program that takes effect before January 1st that will lock people in rates for a defined time? And when rates drop January 1st, will people be stuck with that so-called great deal for a year or two longer?
No, we have some policies that are in effect until next May, some individual policies that are in effect until next May, and we're not pushing people to make a change on that. On the exchanges, there's an open enrollment period that actually runs from tomorrow into the early part of next year, and during that time, you would be seeing the prices that will be available for all of next year, and those prices will be good for the whole year. So, that's just not who we are. We're not going to try to do any kind of bait and switch with our customers.
Okay, let's get back to the phone questions. And, Rocky, you are on with Paul Von Ebers.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for your gifts for being on air today. This is good. Being retired military, 60-plus on TRICARE, will you be affected by that? There's a lot of people say yes and no.
No, TRICARE would not be affected by this.
Okay,
you'd still be good under TRICARE.
Okay, next question is there, do you know if any taxes are coming out for joint replacement? There's been that rumor around for a year now.
Okay, and I have to admit that we'll get some information on our website. I don't know all of the details on this, but as part of the federal reform law, there are some taxes on some medical devices which have been hotly contested, and it could affect the cost of health insurance, because if you put a tax on an artificial hip, well, then we may end up having to pay more for that hip, and so that could increase the cost of insurance.
Okay.
But because it's not directly related to our product, I'm not as familiar with the details on that as I am on other parts of the law.
And one other question, quick question, if I may. Why is it that states like Texas, Florida, and California, their premiums are so low compared to North Dakota, Wyoming, Minnesota? When, you know, and the connection is what people are saying is, well, those are the three states that deal with illegal or illegal immigration problems. You see what I'm getting at? People are saying that people that live in North Dakota, Wyoming, Minnesota are paying for those people's coverage in those states.
Okay, let's get his take on it. Paul?
Yeah, it's really, I don't think it has anything to do with immigration, and I'm not trying to make a political statement here. I'm just trying to use my healthcare knowledge, and I don't think those issues are really the issues. But it is hard to compare prices from state to state, because although we do have to offer products within standard ranges on the exchanges, there are differences between states. For example, in some states, the health insurance carriers have decided to limit the number of doctors and hospitals that are available under a plan, and that can make the plan less expensive, but it's a trade-off. We decided not to limit the network. And so that could have a little bit of an upward influence on prices in North Dakota. So it's not apples to apples. You have to understand exactly what the health insurance company is offering in that state. We generally have low health care costs here in North Dakota. So if our prices are a little higher than other states, it has to be because they're doing something else with the product, like not allowing you to go to any doctor that you want to.
Okay, let's get to Joanne. Joanne, you're on with Paul Von Ebers.
Thank you. Excuse me. My question is, I'm low income, a little over $1,000 a month. Now, I currently have health insurance, good coverage because of some ailments. I'm at 66 years old. And, it covers, so I have no deductibles and a very little deductible till I hit, it's $4,000 with medicine at the beginning of the year. But the problem with me is it's eating up at least a quarter of my income every month. is there anything that I could do with this new health exchange program that would give me coverage like I've got with no co-payments except a little bit for my medicine at the beginning of the year?
So, ma'am, you're 66, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so you are eligible for Medicare. So, again, you really don't have options through the exchanges. There are, what I'm hearing from you is I think that the cost of your pharmaceuticals are the biggest thing that's affecting eating up your monthly income.
No, I have good coverage on that because I hit catastrophic coverage in about June and pay nothing. Otherwise, I'm paying $2 for genetics and $6-something for, you know, the brand names. The
okay.
biggest problem of mine is I got to be sure the health insurance has very little or no copays if I land in a hospital. And because I have, I'll say it, both epilepsy and peripheral neuropathy, this can happen off and on. Plus, there's a drug cost yearly of over $19,000.
And do you have a Medicare supplement policy right now?
That's what I have, but that eats up, even though I have Medicare and Medicaid. The policy I have has excellent coverage, but I'm, you know, by the time I pay rent in the policy, I've got about $200 left a month to live
on. Well, and, you know, we would be happy to talk to you to see if there are any other coverage options that we could help you with. And I'm not sure, without knowing the details, whether we would have something that could help you or not. But we'd certainly be happy to talk to you about it. And, you know, give us a call, and we'll be happy to see if we can, you know, think through other options that might be better for you. But what I would say is your call is raising an extremely important point that even though our healthcare costs in North Dakota are not as high as nationally, they still create a tremendous burden on people. And that's, you know, what you're saying. And I really understand the problem, and it is a very difficult problem. And that's why we're dedicated to trying to hold the cost of healthcare down. And we need the support of doctors and hospitals and everyone else in the community to try to hold the cost down because of stories like yours.
Let's get to Mike. Mike, you are on with Paul Von Ebers, the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield North Dakota.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I got kind of a two-point question that bounces off each other. First one is I'm used to or heard of Minnesota Care, which is in Minnesota, and that's for the less fortunate to afford health care. Is that what Obamacare is going to be, or is it going to be based, or anybody can get it depending on your income?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure exactly what program you're under today, but the whole idea behind Obamacare is to, first of all, make sure that anyone can get insurance regardless of their health conditions, which we've always supported that aspect of the law. We think it's a good thing. So now you can't be rejected if you have a pre-existing condition. And in addition to that, there are very significant federal tax credits available for people in lower income ranges. And then the last piece of the law is that Medicaid, the program for lower income people, has been expanded for adults without children up to 133% of the federal poverty level. So, and I believe that's true in both Minnesota. It is true in North Dakota. So up to 133% of the federal poverty level, Medicaid is available. And then above that level, up to 400% of poverty, there are federal tax credits available. So the whole idea of this is to, first of all, make sure that you can't be rejected by an insurance company. And then the second thing is if you're in those lower income ranges, that there's some financial support for you to be able to buy it. So that will reduce the need for some other programs that have been in place in various states.
Paul, this is going to be bumpy for a while, though. I mean, this is not, and I think that your advice earlier, I wrote that down in my notes here, was good advice, which is you've got a deadline of what, January 1st. So
you can actually sign up after January 1st, but for people who have been waiting for coverage, they're going to want to have it January 1st. So
right.
So, you know, between tomorrow and January 1st is when most people are going to want to sign up. And my point is, if everybody rushes in tomorrow, you're probably going to have a hard time, you know. And so there's no great need to try to sign up tomorrow because your coverage wouldn't be effective until January 1 anyway. So what I would just advise is, you know, give it a little while, at least a week. You know, maybe the end of the month would be better. And you're still going to have plenty of time to get signed up and make sure that you have the coverage that you need.
Paul, can we call you again after the road gets a little bumpy and give people a chance to get access to you again?
Yeah, and you know, let me say that there's a lot of politics around this. You mentioned at the top of the show that we are helping the state of Maryland build their exchange. And I can tell you this is a very complicated business. It's very difficult. It involves multiple software programs talking to each other and so on. This is hard work. And so it is likely that there are going to be some glitches early on. Probably the federal exchange will have some glitches. Probably the exchange we're building in Maryland will have some glitches. But if you give it a little time, I think those glitches will get worked out and you'll be able to get the coverage you need. And at Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Dakota, we want to be available to help you think that through. You know, particularly if you have Blue Cross coverage today, you can contact us and we'll be happy to help you.
One more time, the website if they want to find you, Paul.
Sure. It starts with BlueND.com. That's where you can find the subsidy calculator and other information on health reform. Or you can call us at 800-282-BLUE. And the numbers for Blue are 2583.
So all right. Amy will put those on our website as well.
Great.
So we can find them there. Paul, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Joel.
You bet.
Thank you.
Paul Von Ebers, the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Let's